Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. Intern Nick here with us on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, we talked yesterday about the Bruce Arians situation, him stepping away from coaching, now a senior football consultant in the front office for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Todd Bowles taking over as head coach, and Bruce Arians was at the microphone yesterday. Tom Brady in the front row in attendance at Bruce Arians' press conference yesterday, wearing a nice Brady brand, basically jumpsuit out there, feeling good at 45 years old out there. And Bruce Arians said a number of things, a lot of which had some profanity in it and had to be bleeped out on the broadcast. But among the things that Bruce Arians said, quote, a number of people have already asked, why are you stepping away from a chance to go to the Hall of Fame and win another Super Bowl? Because I don't give a bleep about the Hall of Fame. Succession is way important to me. This has been a dream of mine for a long time. Guys that know me, they knew I wanted one of my guys to take over. That the quote from Bruce Arians yesterday regarding Tom Brady and his relationship with Brady says, quote, all the players, there are a few here, every one of them has gotten cussed out, including him. That's just part of me. That's nothing new. We have a great relationship. People have to write stuff. It couldn't be further from the truth. This coming from Bruce Arians yesterday. So Bruce Arians making it seem like all is well down there in paradise in Tampa Bay between him and the team, between him and Tom Brady as well. What did you think of the Bruce Arians stuff that came out yesterday?
I mean, it's pretty convincing, you know. I mean, the fact that they go out of their way to have this thing and they make sure to put Brady in the front, clearly they're trying to battle this narrative. But it doesn't, you know, so some people may even look at that and say, oh, see, it's all BS, but maybe it isn't. I mean,
I'm surprised Brady wasn't like on the stage with him, just like sitting off to the side, showing his support.
Right. Yeah. Kind of rubbing his back while he talked. Yeah, man. Yeah. You know. I mean, look, there are people who cover the Bucks who, you know, there's stuff that no one in the media is going to see behind the scenes. But, I mean, there isn't a ton to the friction thing, is there? I mean, how much has really been reported on this? I mean, I'm sure that Tom Brady's not easy to work with at all times. Call me crazy, but I'm thinking that it may be difficult. And it's clear with Bruce Arians. No. And it's clear with Bruce Arians. I mean, he's abrasive. I think it's great. Oh, yeah. I love they get up there and cuss away, you know? I mean, that's how he is. And he said it. He said it at the press conference. Like, I've cussed every one of these guys out, including him. And he pointed at Brady, you know. But, I mean, I think that's real. And so I'm sure they had their issues. But, I mean, I find it easier to buy this entire story they've given based on all this stuff. Some people won't, and that's fine. Because it's way more fun and way more alluring to think that this is some huge conspiracy or just some, oh, he forced him out. I mean, everybody wants that to be true, right? Who isn't like a Bucks fan? I'm drifting toward buying this actual story. And that, look, you're 69 years old, and sometimes it's just like, you know what? I'm done with this crap. This can happen, and I think based on the way that Bruce Arians has gone about his business and building his staffs, I think I also buy the succession thing to a point. So, hey, maybe I'm a sucker out here and just, you know, put the fish hook in my gums. But I think it's somewhat to quite believable.
Well, and, you know, Todd Bowles talked yesterday, too, and it was interesting. He said, quote, usually when people get fired, they blame everyone else, talking about his time in New York. First thing I did was look within myself. There are a lot of things I can do better. This is a big opportunity for him. And we talked about that part of it yesterday of, you know, this is now a team with Brady back on it in the NFC where you're looking around and the Rams are there, which, by the way, the Rams signing Bobby Wagner yesterday. So money just continuing to flow for the LA Rams, bringing Bobby Wagner in there on a 5-year contract yesterday. But you got the Rams, You got the Packers who just lost Devontae Adams. You got the Cowboys in there, but the NFC is very winnable if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year. Like, this is a big opportunity for Todd Bowles. That's why my first reaction when I saw this from Bruce Arians the other day was, why now? Like, you've got a chance to win another Super Bowl. I mean, he talked about it in his quote, in him not caring about the Hall of Fame. But if they win two games this year, or if they win the Super Bowl again this year and he's got two, like, could you make an argument for Bruce Arians in the Hall of Fame? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I thought the timing of it was interesting. But I will say I watched some of the Bruce Arians stuff yesterday, too. If there's some big cover-up between him and Brady, like, hating each other, they made it pretty convincing yesterday. I'll give them that.
Yeah, and why? Like, why does Tom Brady need to do anything? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Tom Brady's got all the money in the world. He's got all the rings. He's coming back. Sure, try to get another ring, of course. But, like, does Tom Brady have some really deep, like, is it so important that people think that he, like, likes Bruce Arians, even though he doesn't, even though he forced him out? So he's like, oh, we got to keep up the ruse, guys. All right, I'll show up at the presser, and I'll grip my teeth, even though I hate this guy and I force him out of here. I'll grip my teeth and pretend. Why? Why do that?
Maybe he's afraid it'll tarnish his legacy, Rex showed. I mean, it didn't end well with him and Belichick. If it doesn't end well with him and Bruce Arians, people might think he's difficult.
Yeah, people might have that wild idea. you know, the thing about this that, and I said this the other day, that I find weirdest is that if Arians is like, yeah, that's it. I got a succession plan. I can get out. His whole explanation to Peter King, which I think makes sense. Yep. But if that's how you feel, then why aren't you just walking away? Because when he gets this other, you know, job in the organization, whatever, what's the title? Like,
senior football
advisor
consultant
to the Wizard of Football stuff. You know, yeah. What is it? Senior football consultant? Yeah. Okay.
I believe so. Yeah.
That, like, the fact that he took that, like, that sounds like the organization saying, hey, man, Tom doesn't want to play for you, but we'll keep in the payroll. You can have this. We'll make up this title for you. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about it that really still makes me scratch my head. Like, if you want to get out, great, go then. Why do you want to do whatever this job is? You know, that's the weird part. But, yeah, it's they've gone out of their way on this. And I do – I mean, I trust, you know, a lot of people who are there daily covering them, and it doesn't seem – I mean, again, it's a very enticing soap opera situation. That and I think everybody raised their eyebrows when this happened because of the timing, but I don't know. There may not be much there.
Huffy on the text line says, I'm with you, Joe. I think Bruce wants Todd Bowles to be successful. They have a long history together. I can certainly buy that. My question is, like, with in this new role as senior football consultant or whatever it is with Todd with Bruce Arians, like, is he still going to be able to, like, come down from the press box and cuss Tom Brady out? Because that's what I want to see. can he keep up his abrasiveness in this role? I don't know.
Maybe that's all he's going to do. He can just cut in on the headset. Everyone's like, what the? And then just turn it back out. Thank you, Bruce.
Like, are you going to every game as a senior football consultant? Like, again, that's the part of this, that, as you pointed out, that's kind of strange. Now, I would assume as the consultant, you would be way less heavily involved on a day-to-day basis. Maybe you're consulted once a week, maybe twice a week. I don't know. How's that process work?
I didn't watch the whole presser. Like, did that? Because that's an interesting aspect of the thing. Okay, what do you do here? What would you say you do here, Bruce?
I don't know. I didn't see that get addressed.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, I just – like, the idea that Tom Brady is going to, for someone he hates and has forced out, is going to go through the dog and pony show. What would that say about Tom Brady if that were true?
Yeah.
What would it say? Let's flip that around on Tom.
It would say that Rex Rode would attack him at any chance.
I mean, I think it would say that he's an incredibly fake person, and I don't think that.
Or that he runs the NFL.
Well, if he ran the NFL, then he doesn't need to show up and do this crap. That's right. I mean, man, whatever. You guys think whatever you want to think. I put up my little Instagram, yay, Bruce Arians. And everybody's like, oh, sure, Tom, sure. But now he's actually come to these lengths.
It was interesting that he showed up on the front row yesterday.
Yeah.
Like almost his way of being like, hey, guys, I kind of like you.
I would think so. I mean, that's how I'm going to choose to take it, that Tom Brady doesn't need to, like, be inauthentic about something like this, right?
You'd think so. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Could there be someone in the Titans division that could have a shocking Cincinnati Bengals-style run in them this upcoming season? We'll get to that coming up on the other side. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook giving new customers $150 instant bonus guaranteed. That's right. You'll get $150 in bonus site credit. And all you have to do is place your first bet of $5 or more. How you bet the bracket is up to you. You can choose from the money line, totals, prop bets, and so much more. I like Duke to take down North Carolina. I've been consistent on the Villanova train all week. I'm going to stick with it, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you join FanDuel today with promo code ROB. Then you can place your $5 bet to score $150 in bonus site credit guaranteed. Once again, that promo code is ROB, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Preds taking on the Sabres tonight. We'll have that opportunity for you a little bit later in the show at 8:45. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rexroad, what do the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals of last year have in common, you may ask? Well, a couple of things. Number one, a second-year quarterback that was the first-round, first-overall pick. But more importantly, and the reason I bring this up, the win total, as you look ahead right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the over-under on wins next year for the Jacksonville Jaguars is at 6.5. Obviously, they've hired Doug Peterson. They've made some splashy additions in free agency and have spent a lot of money while doing so in free agency. But the 6.5 is their win total right now. And why is that important? Because last year at this time, the over-under in wins after the draft for the Bengals was 6.5. It was 6.5 as FanDuel Sportsbook threw it out there. Now, we know what happened with the Bengals. They go on to win the AFC North. Ja'Marr Chase has a huge season. Joe Burrow has a huge season. Ultimately, they represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not even going to go down the Jacksonville Jaguars representing the AFC in the Super Bowl part of this because that just seems hilarious to think about right now. My question to you is, what is more shocking? The Bengals run last season to win the AFC North, or if the Jacksonville Jaguars compete for the AFC South this year? Keeping in mind that I believe the AFC South, as presently constructed, may be a worse division than the AFC North was last year.
Yeah, I would say it is. I guess I'd ask back, what is Jaguars winning the AFC South? That's more shocking. Jaguars, you know, getting to like where they can be like an 8-9 team and the winner of the division is 10-7. And so that means that they're in there really close to the end.
Let me put it to you this way. Let's say the last 2 weeks of the season, they still got a chance to win the division.
Yeah, I would say that's more shocking. The thing with the Bengals, one, I think we saw a lot more from Joe Burrow as a rookie than we did from Trevor Lawrence. Don't take that as me abandoning Trevor Lawrence or the idea that he might be a great quarterback, but Joe Burrow pretty quickly demonstrated that, you know, he's a guy, even with a terrible offensive line. And remember, he didn't have Ja'Marr Chase. Now, they did have a good receiving core even before Ja'Marr Chase. Yep. So I thought before the ACL, Joe Burrow, and of course, personal observation there for the Titans game. So got to see him play in that game and even when although the Titans didn't get a lot of pass rush against that horrible offensive line, which was as banged up as it had been all year, by the way. They did a few times almost sack him, and then he had some pretty special Houdini plays on that day. But he was more impressive from the jump than Trevor Lawrence was. So then you add Ja'Marr Chase, and it was still a whole thing of like, man, you're really not going to protect that guy after he has that injury. But I thought that I think some people probably picked them as a at least a rising team last year, right? Is anybody picking the Jags at this year?
Oh, there's some talk about them being like Orlovsky put out a tweet yesterday that said, I have to go find the exact tweet, but the genesis of it was basically surprise teams in the AFC, Jacksonville, and the surprise team he had in the NFC was Minnesota. So, I mean, there are some people talking about Jacksonville taking a big jump. I'm not saying anybody's picking them to go, you know, win the division or anything, but there are people picking them to make a big jump. I mean, some of it is just as simple as like Urban Meyer's out of there now, and you have a coach that, while he had his flaws certainly at the end of his time in Philadelphia, he is a Super Bowl winning head coach, and at least seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. That's to me like the biggest difference. Like as big of a, you know, a dumpster fire as the Bengals have been for basically my entire life up until Joe Burrow walked through the door. Like Jacksonville right now just seems like an organization that cannot get out of its own way. Whether that's Trent Baalke, whether that's Shad Khan, Urban Meyer, like I think the Jaguars making a run next year and competing for the AFC South would be more shocking than the Bengals, because I always expect the Jaguars to do something to screw it up themselves, like to just get in their own way.
Yes, and although Urban Meyer is now, and especially if you're a Jags fan, you're like, it's all on Urban, right? Well, No, there's still a lot of remnants of their dysfunction, in place. So they just – No, I do agree. I like Peterson, and I think that's a pretty good hire for them, and I think that gives them a chance to bring Trevor Lawrence along like you hope they do. You hope they don't screw up Trevor Lawrence, and I think Peterson it could potentially end up being a good hire. But, yeah, there's still a lot there that you wonder about in terms of the way that organization is run. So it would be – yeah, if the Jags won 7 games this year – and they weren't just complete cheeks, then I can buy that. I think they've improved, and they've got some good players on both sides of the ball. But actually being in it at the end, yeah, that would be more shocking to me.
I can buy a big jump this year from Trevor Lawrence. Like, first off, it's going to be pretty difficult for him to be as bad as he was this past year, and there's a lot of things that go into that. You know, Urban Meyer being the head coach, Henry on the text line asking, do you think the fact that Urban Meyer was the head coach had anything to do with Trevor Lawrence's rookie season? Yes, I do.
Sure.
I think it had a lot to do with Trevor Lawrence's rookie season. Now, having said that, he made some throws and decisions that were not good. And go back and watch the Titans game here at Nissan Stadium when Jacksonville came in. There's a pretty good example of that. I think he threw 4 picks in that game. So it wasn't good last year from Trevor Lawrence. I am interested to see with Urban Meyer out of there how much better he can be. I think he takes a pretty big jump this year. If he doesn't, that's when you start to get concerned if you're a Jacksonville fan.
Yeah. Well, the way the NFL goes, if he doesn't, then it's up. Who's next? I mean, it's not what's going to happen. But look, Trevor Lawrence has all the tools, and he was great in college. And there's plenty of guys who have all the tools and are great in college and just don't work out in the NFL. Plenty of them. Way more of them than the other way around. So
Keep
an open mind on him. I thought there were some good moments for him. It's still to me, and maybe this is just being older, most of my life, like the rookie quarterback in the NFL, if he played, that meant the team was horrific, and you really can't judge it. Like, let's go to Peyton Manning's 31 pick rookie year. Or the preference is to do what the Oilers, soon to be Titans, did with Steve McNair and just say, let's just take our time here. Doesn't happen anymore. So, and I think that everything is accelerated, and the offensive translation is a lot easier now. It's a lot closer than it used to be, college to NFL. But I still think people overreact way too much to what rookie quarterbacks do early. Like Tua, Now, I'm glad that Tua is getting the opportunity he's getting this year. And I don't know. I mean, I've been disappointed in him based on how he looked at Alabama. But he's getting a real chance this year with, as you've pointed out, you know, someone who's very respected as a play caller and offensive designer and with weapons. And then this is the fair year to judge Tua.
Yeah, and as far as Trevor Lawrence is concerned, I mean, obviously we're sitting here today on April 1st, and we don't know who the Jags are going to draft either, right? I mean, got a feeling that Trey Hendrickson may end up in Jacksonville, the number one not Trey Hendrickson, Aiden Hutchinson. I was going to make a point about
Trey Hendrickson. How are they doing that?
Yeah, big trade. My point is, like, last year, the Bengals, yes, you drafted Ja'Marr Chase, and I think even they probably didn't know how much of an impact he was going to have in his first year, but they really loaded up defensively as well. Like, that's where they spent their money in free agency last year, was on defense. And you had Trey Hendrickson come in. I mean, you had Eli Apple come in that played pretty well for the most part last year, even though, like, Eli Apple's not a stud or anything, but their defense was decent last year.
Took a
big
jump.
We don't know what the Jags are going to do in the draft, although Aiden Hutchinson's probably going to end up there, but you know, you go out and get a couple more weapons. Maybe Zay Jones is this huge revelation down there in Jacksonville. I don't know what's going to happen on that front. So I'm not saying that you know, the Jags are even set up for success in the same way that the Bengals were last year. I just found it interesting. Second-year quarterbacks on both of them preseason, 6.5 wins, the over-under. Bengals made a run. We'll see if the Jags can.
That's a really interesting. And now you think, and I know it's easy now to look back and say, man, I hope some people hammered that, you know, 6.5 in the Bengals. Because that does seem, even, I know it's hard now because they just played in the Super Bowl, to not think about it in those terms. But, like, doesn't that seem still a little bit low?
It does.
Then again, they were awful, though. Yeah, and he was coming off an ACL.
Well, that division disappointed last year.
Yeah.
I mean, Lamar Jackson was hurt. You know, Ben Roethlisberger couldn't throw the ball 8 yards down the field. And Cleveland was just an absolute, you know, show all season long. Baker Mayfield wasn't healthy when he was. He was playing awful in there. So I think the division was much worse than people thought it would be. And the Bengals, to their credit, took advantage of that.
Hey, real quick on a different topic, I just have to share this from Twitter.
Okay.
Chad Ray Crochet says, hey, I'm the one who texted in about Coach K. Gotta be honest, I've been Googling all the things you told me to research and going down that rabbit hole. I've never heard of any of these. Amazing, right? Why hasn't any charges or NCAA discipline been handed out to him? Honestly asking. We don't have time to get into it, Chad, but basically there's a whole – most stuff that happens in this world, it doesn't lead to that stuff because most programs are careful enough and aren't so sloppy that they get caught on FBI tapes talking about recruits. Some do. Some actually do it the right way. Some cheat the right way, Chad.
That's correct. Doing 102.5 The Game tonight for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. You can have drink specials, enter win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Buffalo Sabres. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 6 o'clock tonight. Coming up next, we'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also, we'll get into Derrick Henry. How confident are we that he's the number 22 that we've seen the last 2 years at that position? That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 102.5 The Game is Nashville's official home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1:30 for the Toyota Owners 400 at Richmond Raceway. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers with Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Konezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We have the Red Rant coming up at 7:45.
Yes.
I'm so hyped.
Rant of the Week. Looking forward to that one coming up here in about 12 minutes or so. Here at 7:45. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. LD from McMinnville texting in says, I read some rumors regarding a potential trade of Baker Mayfield to the Titans. Would definitely be an upgrade on QB2. What are your thoughts? Joe, my thoughts are, if the Titans get Baker Mayfield, it's not going to be via trade. It would be the Browns releasing him, and then maybe the Titans winning, I guess, what would be a bidding war for Baker Mayfield at that point. But I don't know that I really see them getting involved in that right now, unless they just love Baker Mayfield and think he could be the quarterback of the future beyond Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, first of all, I agree with you. Like, the trade thing's not happening. They're not trading assets for Baker Mayfield. I don't think anybody is at this point. There was – so what is there? There's – as soon as I heard that, I started to look on Twitter to see if there's anything actually legit about this. But this is like a guy named Brian West who has two followers. NFL reporter for ESPN, Brian West, two followers. Awesome. It says co-assistant for at Adam Schefter. So at least
unfortunately, he's not Adam West. That would be a lot better.
Yeah, so I don't know. If that's the quote-unquote rumor that you read, then yeah, it's not legitimate. I just, for what we know about Ray Rob, I don't know that Baker Mayfield would fit in so well.
Can you imagine if, like, Vrabel got all over Baker Mayfield about something? Like, how would Mayfield respond to that? Maybe publicly he's just kind of a baby, and privately he gets coached better than, you know, he responds to coaching better than we think. But I just can't imagine in my head Vrabel and Baker Mayfield being a great match.
I can't either. I can't say it. Now, look, if you're a certain level of player, and this is basically like the Aaron Rodgers story, right? Not that he's the same. He's a different sort of annoyance than Baker Mayfield. But, then you can overcome a lot of that stuff. You say great hair?
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Greasy hair.
Yeah, wash your hair, please, Aaron.
As a bald man, if I could do it, I'd do it.
So if you could have hair, but then the deal would be that you just have to let it just become disgusting and greasy, you'd be down with that?
Yeah, man.
Okay. Maybe a skullet.
Well, I could probably do that.
Dude, you should do a skullet.
That'd look great.
No, Michelle says no.
What is a skullet?
A skullet is like you still have the dome, but then you got the party in the back.
Yeah. You need a mullet?
Well, right, but it's a mullet, but it's a skullet because you, like, you know how
a normal hair on top.
Right, a normal mullet. Normal mullet is short hair on top and then the long in the back.
Rob,
right?
You could also have the rat tail. You could make the little rat tail too.
Well, you could do a skullet with a rat tail.
Yeah, be great. My wife would love that stuff.
It's worth a shot. What were we talking about again? I forget.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield with a mullet would be interesting. Yeah, I don't think. I don't think Baker Mayfield is going to be in Nashville anytime soon on an official business, unless he's playing for the other team.
Chip from Mount Juliet says, not sure Baker is much of an upgrade over Tannehill. And Shane from Ashland City says, no, please no, don't even entertain. This is coming from Shane from Ashland City. I think Shane's going to be safe. I don't think there's going to be much entertaining of Baker Mayfield going on for the Titans.
If all things were equal right now, and it was the same cost, same impact in the cap, all that stuff, same term, who would you take, Baker Mayfield or Ryan Tannehill?
Ryan Tannehill, zero hesitation.
Okay.
Do you agree or disagree?
I agree, but I don't know that I'd have zero hesitation. I mean, Baker is younger. I think Baker's good and could be good, and I'm giving him a mulligan on last year. It was such a step down from the year before, and he was playing through injury, and I give him some credit for doing that. But I would ultimately also pick Tannehill still.
I kind of feel like, and it's interesting because I think both of us still believe, the best player on the Titans. We've not talked a ton about Derrick Henry so far this offseason, just because, I don't know if you've noticed, there's been a lot of things going on in the NFL, including with the Titans. They've made some moves. But Derrick Henry, we saw him come back for the one playoff game. He looked okay. He had 20 carries for 66 yards, somewhere around then. I don't even remember what the final number was. But here we are. We're heading into next season. Robert Woods is in. A.J. Brown, you've got on offense. You brought in Austin Hooper. Ryan Tannehill's still your quarterback. But again, basically what, to me, this offensive success is going to come down to is, does Derrick Henry look like the Derrick Henry we've seen the last 2 years when he's been healthy? If he does, this Titans offense is going to be pretty good because we've seen what a difference maker he is when he's completely healthy and he's running the ball the way that we've seen. But what if he's not? He did just come off a serious injury. He's 28 years old, which is not ancient, but it, you know, when running backs start to get closer to 30, that's when you start to raise your eyebrows a little bit traditionally in this sport. So I think myself included, I put myself in this. I think a lot of people here in Nashville are just assuming that Derrick Henry is going to come back next year and be the same Derrick Henry that we've seen pre-injury. And maybe he will. I hope that he does. But is that too much of an assumption on our part at this point, Joe Rekstra?
Well, it's a necessity, so that's how you have to proceed. Now, I do think that a drafted running back is possible here. I don't know where. I don't know who. But I think that makes sense. Not necessarily drafting his successor, but you know, just drafting another young player at the position who could potentially, you know, earn a role, but also fill in if needed if Derrick Henry does get hurt. I mean, I think Dontrell Hilliard was a good find for the Titans, but I would not rule that out somewhere in this draft if there's someone they really like after they punted on Darrington Evans. But yeah, look, it's Derrick Henry being healthy and being able to give them 25, 30 carries on any given Sunday is, if you don't have that, I don't see where this team is going to be. I would absolutely give the edge in the AFC South then to the Colts. And if that's the case, if you look around the rest of the AFC, I mean, at this point, I think I'm probably guessing that the AFC South winner is the lone AFC South representative in the playoffs. And I'm not sure the Titans are a playoff team if Derrick Henry isn't Derrick Henry. Again, it doesn't have to be 2,000-yard Derrick Henry, but it's got to be probably about 1,500-yard and available every week and still same level of physicality and home run threat Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and, you know, again, he's 28. He's got some, you know, the last couple of years, some tread on his tires, although I will say maybe the silver lining of the injury last year is he wasn't taking a beating all season long and on pace for 900 carries or whatever he was going to get last year before he was hurt. So maybe there's a little bit of a silver lining there. But look, I mean, at this point, the bone should be healed. He should be fine with his foot. Like, if he goes out and breaks his foot again next year, like, I don't know whether or not, I'm not smart enough to know that has any correlation at this point based on the previous injury that he had. He should be fully healed. So I'm not necessarily worried about the injury from last year. He was at such a high level that we were talking anyway before the injury about how long can he sustain this level of play. Is it one more year? Is it three more years? Like, how long can Derrick Henry do this? And right now, like, based on the way this team is constructed, I think it's important that he's still that player. And if he's not, as you said, that really changes what I think this team could be offensively.
Yeah. And look, this also, I'm not advocating for this, but this opens up, you know, I've seen some people say, hey, maybe now is the time. Maybe now's the time to, you know, to trade Derrick Henry and get assets out of it and things like that. The problem is you're not getting what you might think. I don't think that you would get all that much for someone at his age at that position coming off that serious an injury. You know, your highest value right now is just that he's a freak. You know, I mean, your best return on investment right now is just that he proves once again that he is not your typical running back or even your typical NFL player, and that he's got a lot more left in him. And whenever that ends, then you're taking a big turn as a franchise into something else.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, Andrew from the Borough texting in says, Derrick Henry is going to be Derrick Henry. He's never given us a reason to doubt his greatness. So let's not start now and give him his respect. This is coming from Andrew on the text line.
Right, yeah, but we're not questioning. We're just questioning health. I mean, it's this game batters bodies, even people like Derrick Henry's. It's just the reality of it.
Coming up next, it's time for the Red Rant. Michelle Knezovic's Rant of the Week coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Hey now, you're an all-star.
And it is that time of the day once again, time for the Rex Rant, hijacked today as the Red Rant from Michelle Knezovic. Rex Rhodes had his rants this week. I threw out one about Cracker Barrel holding open doors the other day, this week as well. And it is now Michelle Knezovic's turn here on the program. Michelle Knezovic, I turn things over to you for the inaugural edition of the Red Rant.
I am so excited, guys. So, to preface this, I have red hair, hence the red rant. And as I said before, I had a rant that I had in mind, but then yesterday something happened. And for a little background information on the show, I did tell a little story about a couple months ago. I got in a car accident. Everything's fine. Nobody was hurt or anything. But I was missing the side mirror of my car. So, you know, new to the city, had to find a body shop. Went to the dealership. They suggested I go to this body shop in Gallatin, not knowing the area, but Gallatin's about 40 minutes. But already started the process with them, you know, went through insurance. This is like a lengthy process, right? So like, okay, we can't get you in until March 28th. This was like 2 months ago. So I'm driving with no window on my car, right? We get the rental car set up. We get the appointment set up. All the parts are in for the car. We're all on the right track. Insurance is all set. Shout out to my mom for helping me with all that adulting. So on Monday, after the show, right, drive the 40 minutes to Gallatin, drop off the car, here are my keys, right? They don't really have a timetable for how long it's going to take. We're supposed to call you every 2 days to let you know the update on it because I made it clear to them, hey, don't have rental car insurance, right? So we're paying out of pocket for a rental car. They're very pricey. They're like, okay. So drop the car off, right? Go get the rental car. Don't get home till like 2 o'clock. Just this long process, right? Have to pay like $400 for the rental car, right? Paying it just for this week, just until Friday, till today. And then was going to call the body shop later in this week to, you know, figure out, hey, what's the status? Am I going to need to extend this rental car through the next week, through the weekend, yada, yada, all this stuff. Trying to be proactive so I don't pay extra for this rental car if I don't need it. Meanwhile, the car itself, thank God insurance is paying because that was really expensive. So after the show yesterday, I'm like, Mom, I'm going to call the dealership or the body shop to see, hey, what's the status of my car? Figure out, you know, how many more days I'm going to need this rental car. Meanwhile, I already paid $400 for it. My mom, she was on the ball, right? She called like as soon as I got off the air, so I didn't even have a chance to call. They have not started working on my car. I dropped it off at 11 a.m. on Monday. This was 11 a.m. on Thursday. So that is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 4 days that they have not started working on my car. And I have spent $400 on a rental car. And they have not started working on my car. I was absolutely fuming. I made it clear I didn't have rental insurance. I'm a young 24-year-old girl going in here, dropping off my car. Do not try to take advantage of me and be like, oh, we'll get to her car. We'll get to her car. They have not even started working on my car. I like my face is red right now because I am fuming. This has been like the most lengthy process forever. But basically my rant is that people do your job. And when you're supposed to be calling me every 2 days, I had to call you. And when I find out you're not working on my car and it's already been there for 4 days, that is absolutely ridiculous. And I've already paid $400+ for a rental car.
Wow.
And by the way, why didn't we didn't do the camera? You should have come right here. Why did we not do this?
My face is like bright red.
It really is. This
because
is
I'm
a true,
so pissed.
This is literally a red rant. Literally.
I knew my face was going to get... But like, how ridiculous is that, guys? I don't have just $400 to blow. Who does?
So
and
what,
if I didn't call...
What was their excuse?
Well, we're like understaffed and everything. Okay, then don't take my car until you can work on it. I won't bring it in until next week. I'm not going to pay I'm not going to pay $800 for a rental car for 2 weeks. Don't take my car. You said you had all the parts. You said you're ready to take it. Don't take my car until you can actually work on it.
So are they like Are they working on it now? Do you know? Or are you going to have to go get the car and then start this whole thing over again next week?
Well, Mom and I had a lot of shout out to my mother.
Happy birthday.
Who, happy birthday, first off. And who's just a boss at, let me speak to the manager. She Karen'd them and said, let me speak to the manager. And was like, this is unacceptable. My daughter's 24. Like finding a body shop, you want somebody who's reputable, who's going to take care of your car, things like that. You don't realize when you move to a new city, these are things that you want to make sure you have somebody you have. And then with COVID, so many parts are back ordered. Still, we're seeing the aftermath of it. And we thought this was a good place, yada, yada. And I'm not going to name them because I have not picked up my car yet. We are going to wait until we get the car.
I was just going to ask you, let's name some names here.
We are going to wait until we get the car in the hands. But shout out to my mom, who is figuring out this whole situation and is Jesus taking the wheel in this one, because I just get really frustrated. And sometimes they try to intimidate you when they know you're a young person on the other side and they think that, you know, this has happened before. But when I stand my ground, I'm like, no. I'm an educated woman. And I know exactly what you're doing right here. But think about it. If I didn't call, say, until Tuesday, what if they were like, oh, your car's going to take another week? And then I would have been paying, like, I would have lost out on all this money.
All this for a mirror.
And the thing is, it was my freaking fault. So, like, at the end of the day, it makes me even more mad.
I can't believe that also, so a place 40 minutes away that had a 2-month wait.
See, I feel like
I don't want to turn this rant on you at all.
I know.
I don't want to turn your rant on yourself.
I know. See, that's the thing that gets me mad too, is like, okay, like I called other places though around here and they're like, yeah, we got to order the parts. It's going to take a while. The other place already ordered them. Yeah. So it's like, okay, we're too far into the process. Insurance is already in it and all that stuff. Mom's like, do you want to choose a different one? I'm like, well, they already set up a State Farm, and they already got the parts, and yada, yada. And it's going to just take a lot to then switch the place and then call the insurance. So, yeah, my rent is do your job, and don't try to take advantage of young people when you think they don't know what's going on, when, oh, I very well know what's going on, sir.
LD from McMinnville texting in says, two words after that rant, duct tape. Get that mirror and duct tape that thing together out there.
Oh, listen, that was the first
try. Go find
try.
Some Walmart and strap that thing up.
Oh, we tried. It was bad. I think you guys saw it, the wires like hanging one day when I drove in.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that stinks. I'm sorry. That's a good rant, and it's a bad situation.
Andrew texting and says, I would have been at that body shop raising cane. I can't stand those types of places, especially bad mechanics. It's coming from Andrew on the text line.
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, and it took 8 weeks to get the parts in, so.
Caleb texting in says, I work at a Chevy store, and we're booking service 30-plus days out. It's crazy right now. It's coming from Caleb on the text.
See, line. I get that.
It is crazy out there.
Yeah, I mean, no question.
I get that, but let's just not take my car until we can actually work on it, and yeah.
Right. Just say, okay, we're don't even bother bringing it in right now.
Understand.
Bring it in. Yeah. Yeah.
You're paying out
of
pocket for
that's
this.
Where they really screwed this up. Or. Yeah. Maybe they, but
provide you with a rental car.
Were they in cahoots with the rental car place? Maybe it's actually a conspiracy.
See, they're partners.
They the
is Bruce Arians involved in this somehow?
He is actually. No, I'm kidding. So yeah, I don't know what the benefit is. Whatever, but we need to figure it out. And
the
I will
Brady
keep
brand
you all updated.
Rental car service.
Yeah, Brady, why don't you just give me a rental car? One of your million cars.
Hurts.
Tom texting in says, my wife just called the garage where they're fixing her car after 3 weeks. And when she called to say, what's the status? The girl said, oh, it's been ready since last Friday. Did you not get the text?
Oh, boy.
Very frustrating. That's
ooh,
a different one. That's
that's the other
one. That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's even worse.
Yeah, communicate. You can still communicate with people, even if you're backed up and everything. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on that's out of everybody's control.
Exactly. We can be kind. We can be understanding.
Like, did no one look around and be like, hey, this car it's been finished for a week. Is anybody going to come pick this up? Maybe we need to call someone.
I sent a text. It's fine. Good rant. Also, eat your damn leftovers, everybody. It's been a good week of rants.
And say thank you when somebody opens the door for you.
That's right. What else did we have this week? I don't even remember. I had some dumb sports ones that are totally worthless.
This is very therapeutical.
Something about Twitter.
Therapeutical.
Yeah, Twitter.
Good.
The inaugural edition of the Red Rant. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.